great to have you with me. We've been talking about crowds maybe returning in 6 months' time, and surprise, surprise, a couple of minutes ago, Herald Sun's put up a story on their website about maybe crowds returning as well. So there's a lot of talk about it. Larry Kesselman last week had a chat to the Victorian Sports Minister, Martin Pakula. There's an article on it in, well, not on it specifically, but with it mentioned by a doctor as being a possibility later this year in the West Australian as well. We'll talk to Sean Higgins about that a little bit later on in the program. Dwayne's word for Robot Building Supplies. Robots got it. They've got it and they deliver. They're open for business. Robotbuildingsupplies.com.au. And we're powered by Red Energy, born and bred in Melbourne. That's Red Energy. Daniel Garb's been good enough to join me. Soccer commentator. He's been around a long time, making our life a little easier when we're not so entranced by the world game, to enlighten people like me, and he's going to enlighten us again. Welcome to you, Daniel. Thanks for your time.
Thanks, Ryan. Thanks for having me.
Been a lot of talk about the way soccer moves forward. Been a lot of different sports talking about how they revamp themselves, and been watching this space with some of the bigger names in soccer, Mark Viduka, Mark Bosnich, Frank Farina, talking about whether the season should be in our summer or whether the season should be in our winter. Exactly what soccer's going to look like going forward. Will we see a couple of radical changes made?
Potentially. So they've now formed the FFA, what they call the starting 11, and they've brought 11 former players together, male and female, to basically study game development and player development in Australia, which is a smart move. And yeah, there's some big names involved, the likes of Josip Skoko, Paul Okon, Ron Smith, who's a champion coach, Frank Farina, you mentioned, and Mark Viduka, the big one. His first formal involvement in Australian football since he retired over 10 years ago. So that is certainly a boon for the game. And it's good PR from the FFA amid all the uncertainty right now to establish this and send a message that they are still thinking about the future of the game and trying to be proactive, I think, sends a very strong and powerful message that fans are certainly enjoying. By no means will this be a saviour or a messiah for the game, if you like, this forum, because, you know, you're not going to change everything in Australian football just by gathering 11 former players around a table. But if they can pluck two or three good ideas from all these experienced minds, that is certainly something that can be productive for the game. And certainly having someone like Mark Viduka involved so quickly after his first couple media appearances in a long, long time, I think shows that the FFA is on the front foot at the moment, and amid all the uncertainty around the game, yeah, that's good to see.
What changes are the head of their agenda?
I think a lot of it's around player development. There's no doubt about that. I mean, sometimes things get distorted a bit for mine. I mean, there's no doubt we haven't got the golden generation anymore, but I mean, there's lots of big football nations that have had generations that are better than others. We're still producing some quality players, the likes of Matty Ryan and Aaron Moy and Matt Leckie, and, you know, Mille Jedinak's played in the Premier League through the A-League. The same for someone like a Robbie Cruz. We've still produced some good players in recent times, but perhaps we haven't got that strong football culture of the 80s and 90s that led to that golden generation. And I think some things that can be put in place in regards to that from experienced minds who went through that time will be really important. Certainly the discussion around the move to winter will be an interesting one from a player's point of view. It's something they do need to consider. I don't really see it being viable, Dwayne, in Australia, simply because of ground availability. I mean, it's not so much AFL grounds, but the rugby league and rugby union teams playing on the same grounds and at the same time as football teams, it's just not going to be possible in terms of, well, ground availability, but also surface quality. I don't see how they are going to make that happen. I mean, the Melbourne Storm play on the same pitch as the Melbourne Victory and the Melbourne City during large parts of the season. The same for the Brisbane Roar and the Broncos and the Queensland Reds, the Newcastle Jets and the Newcastle Knights. It'll be too much for the surfaces to cope. So while it's a fair idea and one that should be on the table, I don't see how that one can actually come to fruition.
What about the restart, possible restart? Is it looking less likely than likely? Is it looking almost impossible, or how are you seeing it?
Well, according to Tony Sage, the Perth Glory chairman, who spoke pretty openly about this on Perth Radio a few days ago, unless Fox Sports, according to him, the Perth Glory chairman, pays the final installment, the season won't continue, and they'll have to basically reboot next season with a new broadcast plan. So that's basically where they're at, according to one of the owners who is very vocal on these sorts of issues. So that's basically where they're at right now. If there's been any change over the last day or two, we haven't been alerted just yet, but the last news was that Fox Sports didn't pay the last installment when it was due, which I assume is the same with other codes. But considering football hasn't got long to go in the season and needs that money in order to continue and have a final series and the rest, the likelihood is that unless that money comes through, the season probably is voided. I imagine Sydney FC are declared champions and that's it, which would be incredibly disappointing. But the bigger issue is the broadcast rights deal as a whole and trying to ensure that it's there for the next 2 or 3 years, basically, and working through that minefield with the broadcaster. And that's a bigger issue at play right now, which at the moment doesn't seem like it's any closer to being resolved.
And just a quick one, we've been talking about the AFL and the NRL a lot on this program, but they're talking about a June restart for the Austrian Grand Prix. We've been talking about the NBA allowing players back to train next month. And I noticed that a couple of players were allowed back to Arsenal training this week as well. What's the latest overseas?
Yeah, well, that's the positive news in the last 24 hours, that the Premier League is trying to gear up for that June restart to try and get the season completed by late July. So they've put that plans in place. They do need a government approval for that to happen. But all the word out of England is that the government is really keen to get sports back on the agenda. It was a back page story in the Times a day ago that they really want sport to come back to lift morale and start to lift economic stimulation in the country as well. So it looks as if it's more likely than not that we will get a June start, depending on what the government says and if they can sign off on it. That's positive. And then I'm hearing that the Champions League will also resume according to plans right now and look for a late August finish. So yeah, the last 24 to 48 hours certainly more positive in terms of the Premier League resuming and actually finalising the season, and many other countries will follow. The Dutch League avoided their season, but the German League wants to keep going as well. So in terms of the Premier League, yeah, positive over the last couple of days.
Great to have you, Daniel. Really appreciate it. It's looking pretty good. In a couple of months' time, we're not going to be talking about which sports are playing. We're going to be naming the couple of sports that aren't playing. Great to have a chat to you. More after the break.